Go ahead and turn your Bibles again to the book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, chapter 2. I didn't get to finish last week what we started, and hopefully we can get through this today. I like to take my time. You know, I learned some interesting things these last couple days. One of the things you guys might ask, well, what do you guys go through over there? You know, that was my question too, because I've never been over there. And so I got to experience that this weekend. And one of the interesting things that we learned over there was AI. AI is artificial intelligence. And we had one guy come in and give an hour-long discussion. He, matter of fact, he probably could have taken two whole days for this, but he just gave us a quick rundown. And I'm gonna say this to you to pass it along. Be careful what you get on, what you allow on your websites. They made a statement that I didn't realize. They said, you know, back in the day when we used to use the Strong Concordance and those things to look up our messages, and he goes, now we use Google. He says, you know, Google already knows what you're going to preach before you get up Sunday morning. With that being said, they're watching us, and they're wanting to silence preachers. And so they gather all that information on you folks. And you think you might delete it, you're not deleting it. And so there's some scary times. One of the things that they brought up is what we're experiencing now is in live time, they can take a picture of my face right now and transpose it to someone else's body in India. And it'll look just like I'm right there. We're in some scary times. But I look at it like this. God's coming. And I'm thankful for those things. But I just want to pass that along to you. Just be careful what websites you get on, what you allow in your home, because they're gathering information on you folks like you wouldn't believe. I heard a lot of the old preachers are going back to the old style computers, and so they won't have access to them as much because they're really trying to silence us believers. So just be careful on those things. Well, you feel intelligent now after I brought that all forth? I sure do. But hey, let's begin reading again in verse number 8, because that's what we really focused on last week, and we're going to bring this back up, and I'm hoping I can finish the remainder part of this chapter as well, but we'll see how we do this. It says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Now this, again, this is how we are really proving our love to people. So last week I gave us a couple of things that in areas that we are to love. First of all, we talked about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan showed his love by demonstrating that towards the wounded. He saw the wounded man on the side of the road. He took care of him, gave him some oil, brought him to another house, and was going to take care of all of his medical needs that was needed for him. He did that because he had compassion. The Bible said that. He had compassion. He moved on him. Compassion is another form of love. And so we show our love towards the wounded. So often we see somebody who is wounded and we want to go our separate way. And let's get back to the Bible. We see somebody who's wounded, let's take care of their needs. Not only just the physical, because there are people who are wounded spiritually. And we need to help them take care of their needs. The other form of a person that we are to show love towards is one another. We are to show love towards each other. And I'm going to hit just a little bit on this again. And then we are to show love towards our enemies. When we talked about this last week, anybody put that into practice this week? Anybody that you considered an enemy in your life that you showed love towards? Amen. Got a few head nods. So we're to show love towards them. I ended last week as we were talking about showing love towards one another. And I made a statement, not everybody that's here loves each other. You might be shocked. We have come to find out that we learn just to exist with each other. And I kind of hit on that just a little bit last week. But we don't need to learn to exist with each other. What we need to do is learn how to love with each other. And that's very important in our life. Have a genuine love for an individual or brother or sister in Christ. I'm going to give you 15 things at the end of this that will help you show you some areas in your life that maybe you haven't practiced that we need to practice in our life, and I'll give that to you in a little bit. So I'm saying this right now is for you to stick around and not doze off. It can get warm in here, and we can doze off rather easily. So I stated last week a thought that I was going to get here, and that is, how can we show love towards each other? And that is, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Book of Colossians chapter 4. If you don't know where it's at, Galatians, Ephesians, I still can't say it, Philippians and Colossians. I always put it like this. I thought my wife told me this, but apparently she didn't. God eats popcorn with Coke. G for Galatians, E for Ephesians, Philippians. Okay. If I had to explain it, then it wasn't funny at all. So how are we to show love towards each other? It starts off in chapter 4, verse number 5 through number 6. It says, walk in wisdom and toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. What is being said here, and how we are to show love towards each other, just to break it down a little bit for us, we are to show love through our speech. You know, I've learned in life, especially myself, the way I have talked to individuals throughout my life hasn't always been loving. There's been some things that have come out of my mouth that have been negative, that it hasn't been uplifting, that hasn't been edifying. But we are to love others through our speech. When it comes to our speech, some people, and I say this with all seriousness, some people need to learn to put a filter on their mouth. They need to put a filter on their mouth, because your mouth, what comes out of that, can ruin relationships. You know, there's a reason why in the book of James, we haven't gotten there yet, why we're to put a bit in our tongue. We need to control our speech. And so we need to learn how to filter our mouths. Well, what comes out of our mouths that needs to be filtered? Well, I'm learning in life as I continue to go on. One thing that we need to filter in our life to show love towards people is get rid of your negativity. There are so many negative people in our world. And I'll tell you what, it's depressing. Stop being so negative. Matter of fact, be uplifting. Be encouraging instead of being negative. Another form of us to filter our mouths is stop being negative, but stop having such a complainative attitude. You know, I've learned this, especially been hard in my life, because I complain, and I complain just like the rest of us in here. But I've learned in life that complaining doesn't get me anywhere, and complaining doesn't show love. It just shows a negative attitude, and so we need to put away our negative attitude. We need to put away our complainative attitude as well. The other thing that we need to do in order to filter our mouth is start getting rid of our condescending attitude. Get rid of your condescending attitude. That can ruin lives as well. I've learned something in life, and I still have to learn this on a daily basis. I'm learning, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Don't say it at all. Especially, write this down, especially in church. Especially in church. You know, people hear us with our negative and complaining attitude in church. What do you think that does to new converts and new believers? Well, man, I heard so-and-so being so negative in their speech towards the pastor. You know what's going through their mind? That person doesn't love. And they might say to themselves, well, I don't want to be a part of a church that's negative, complainative, has a condescending attitude, talking bad about people while we're in the church services. You know, people hear things. And we need to learn to filter our mouths. What comes out of our mouth will either show two things. One, if we have a loving attitude towards other believers, or two, if we have a negative, hateful attitude towards believers. And we need to be careful in how we allow things to come out of our mouth. You know, I was talking to Brother Doug Stauffer the other day, and I said, Brother, I got to say one thing to you, because Chris and Jalen and I were talking about this Wednesday night. Have you ever noticed Brother Stauffer always has a smile on his face? Always has a smile on his face. And is always trying to be encouraging and uplifting to people. And he talks about a lot of the end times and prophecies where a lot of people get scared, but he's so upbeat about it. And so I pulled him aside and I said, Brother Stauffer, I just want to thank you for your great attitude that you have and the smile that you always have on his face. And he told me, he says, Chad, you know why I always have a smile on my face? I said, please tell me. He says, it took one time I walked in the church and I didn't have a smile on my face because I had a bad day. And it showed, and people said something to me. And he said, you know what? I decided right then and there, no matter what comes my way, no matter what kind of bad news I get, and he kind of hit on this a little bit Wednesday night because he talked about the news that he had with his daughter the night before he got here and how it kind of set him back. But he said, you know what? I got to show love. I got to have a smile on my face, because if I don't, I'm going to have negative things come out of my mouth. I begin to think about that. I was like, wow, a smile goes a long way. A smile goes a long way. It shows something about that individual. So I appreciate that about him. So with that being said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Don't be negative. Don't be a complainative person. And don't chase someone out of the church that might want to have membership with us. This is a teaching moment. It's not a beat you up moment. It's just a teaching moment. So that is another form of us on how to show love. And why are we doing this? Because we don't belong to this world. We all know this. This is nothing new to us. But we belong to Christ. And because we are His, we should have nothing but good speech coming forth out of our mouth. Now, we've talked about this with love towards our brethren. But that even goes further than love towards our brethren. That goes towards the world that we are in every single day, to people who don't have a relationship with God. Do you know, by having a smile on your face and showing love can cause somebody to come to know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior? Do you guys remember Ron Todd, our missionary to Costa Rica? He says one of the things that he does is that he works on constantly is his testimony. In other words, he's saying he builds a relationship with them. He becomes friendly with them, and he doesn't take on a complainative role, but he comes and he plays an encouraging person and lets them know how important they are to them. And through that, he's able to lead people to Jesus Christ. So we are Christ, and because we are His, we should have speech that is coming forth from our mouth, one that is edifying, one that is encouraging as well. Again, if you choose to have the speech that was just mentioned, let me be a reminder to you, you're not showing love. What you are showing is a person who might have some bitterness in her life, and bitterness we know leads to hatefulness. Look at Jacob and Esau. Esau was bitter towards his brother. And we saw the effects of that. Well, bitterness turned into Esau wanting to chase his brother around the country, trying to kill him. See, bitterness turns into hatefulness. See, we belong to God, and so our speech that we have should be one of rejoicing, instead of one of being so bitter and so hateful. So as we continue to move on, in reality, we really don't show love to others, listen to this statement, the way that we love ourselves. The way that we love ourselves. You know, if we can just show people love the way that we love ourselves, this would be such a different world that we live in. We think about it. Everything that we do revolves around us. From the day that we, from the time that we wake up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night, it revolves around us. And we want to make ourselves happy throughout the day and not really putting any consideration upon the ones that are around us. And we do everything in our lives to make ourselves better, from diet to exercise, things of that nature, trying to make our bodies better physically. And we do those things, why? Because it's become a focus on us, because we love ourselves. And it'd be nice to, I doubt if we can do this morning, but just imagine if we just admitted this morning that we're in love with ourselves. But think about it. We are. So we don't really show love to others because we get in the way. We get in the way. And so we need to love them the way that we love ourselves. So if we did, as I said just a little while ago, if we did, our world would be a much happier place, a much nicer place for us to live in. So we need to show love towards others the way that we love ourselves. Why would anyone be curious about what is going on in this church when they visit if we're not showing love towards each other? You know, some of you folks get here early, and I appreciate that. And as you get here early, you begin to fellowship with one another. And it's a limited fellowship because, you know, we got to start at a certain time. Some of you folks get here late, you miss out on that fellowship. But what I see taking place is a genuine love between believers. And a lot of that might take place because we haven't seen each other since maybe last Sunday or maybe this past Wednesday. And we're excited and we're happy to see each other. And so we begin to, some of us shake hands, some of us hug each other around the neck. Some of us give fist pumps, things of that nature. And we begin to ask how your week was and things like that. Why does that take place? Because we love. We also hurt when someone in our church is hurting as well. Why does that take place? Again, that is a form of love. You know, it's okay to hurt for an individual in our church when they're hurting. It's okay to do those things. As I mentioned in my prayer earlier, it's okay for us to mourn when somebody else is mourning. Why? Because it's showing that we love them. It's showing that we care for them. And if a visitor, as they come into this building this morning and they see those things take place, you know what they're saying to themselves? Man, I want to be a part of Open Door Baptist Church because I see something that I've never seen before. And that's brothers and sisters in Christ who love each other. Man, I walked out of that church this morning and I didn't hear anybody complaining about the preacher. I didn't hear anybody complaining about the song. I didn't hear anybody complaining about each other in the building. And that's what I want to be a part of. And they say those things because they have probably come from churches like that. There are churches who don't practice loving each other. There are churches who don't practice on trying to fellowship with one another. See, love is important. You know, it's one of the royal laws given by God. We are to love one another. It's not only are we to love one another, but another form of love is being kind. Being kind. Being gracious. So let's begin, if we're not doing those things, let's begin to practice those things. Also, I want a quick note here. Reach out. Now, this might be difficult for some, and I say it because I'm talking about myself here. Reach out to the ones who are not a part of your personal group that you put yourself in. You guys know me. I'm an introvert. I'm okay being by myself. But if I want to show love towards somebody, I got to get my duff off the pew and begin to interact with people who aren't in my personal circle. Well, Chad, who's in your circle? Me. So I got to extend myself out to others to begin to show love towards each other. In other words, you have to step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your comfort zone and learn how to love others in this church that God has called you to worship with. Chad, you're kind of hitting on this hard. Yeah, I'm hitting on this hard because we just can't learn to exist with each other. We have to learn to love each other. Let me ask you this. You take the term love and the word exist. Let's say the government comes in this morning and they decide, hey, we're going to shut everything down. We're going to shut you guys down. We're going to close the doors. You're no longer going to have access to worshiping together here in this church. So with that scenario being said, what's love going to do? Love's going to say, hey, Q, Charlie, Isaac, I want you guys to come to my house so that we can open up God's word. Hey, Donovan, Brother Thurlow, Matt, we're gonna have a little Bible study. And I'm not saying we're going to meet off and begin to start small groups. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if the government came in here this morning and said those things, where are we going to meet? Well, we're not going to meet with each other if we just learn to exist. I'm going to go to Q's house and Charlie's house because, hey, I have a genuine love for them. And because of that love, we're going to continue to, no one can stop us from gathering in our homes. Well, if they do, that's, you're going to say, Lord, please come. But we're going to do those things because of love. Now, if we just learn to exist, what has been practiced here and what has been established here for the last 48 years will go away. You see the importance of showing love towards one another? I hope you're getting that this morning because that's what we need to do. We need to show love towards one another. So get out of our comfort zone and begin to give yourself. Love is giving yourself. Give yourself to the people that God has given you the privilege to be with. Give yourself to them. And as you begin to give yourself to them, they're going to find some things out about you that they have never known or even heard of. They're going to see that you're real. So in other words, I'm saying, as you give yourself, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. So, church, if we do not love others the way Christ is loving us, then we are failing Him who taught us how to love. We don't love because that comes to us naturally. We love because Christ first loved us. And so if we don't show folks love, not just this world, but each other, we're failing Him. We're failing Him. You know, as I begin to contemplate the word fail, as I grew up, there have been many times where I have failed my parents. And when you fail your parents, I'm saying this from personal experience. I don't know how you felt when this happened in your life, but I felt ashamed. And then because I felt ashamed for what I've done, I didn't feel worthy to be around their presence. Why? Because I did not practice what they taught me to do, and I failed them. Christ has taught us to love each other. And He showed that so many times in Scripture. I'm going to give you one example. Here's one thing that happened as Jesus, before He's going to the cross, He's with Peter, the soldiers come, and they begin to arrest Jesus. We see Peter, he reacts, and he grabs a sword, and he chops off the ear of the soldier. So I'm seeing one act being done, an act of violence, and possibly an act of violence which might have been hateful at that time. But I see something tremendous take place. The ones who came to arrest Jesus and begin to take Him to a place where His life was going to be changed for eternity, for yours and I, what He did was amazing. We'll look at it just, oh, this is just a little miracle that Jesus performed. No, this is love. that Jesus was showing as well. So as that ear is on the ground, all bloodied and maybe missing some pieces here and there, he picked up that ear and he placed it back on a soldier. What was he telling us? Or what was he showing us? He was showing us love. And so if he's able to show love towards others who want to do him harm, he is teaching us, hey, we need to love regardless. And so he's taught us how to love. And the greatest area that we can fail him in is one of these, is not showing love to others. The Bible says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's what Christ wants from us, to show our neighbors. And you can put anybody in that category. It can be your church member here. It can be your neighbors in your neighborhood. It can be a neighbor as you're standing in the grocery store or in a gas station. Or you can even extend that to work. People that God has surrounded you with on your daily life. So the royal law given by God is that we are to love one another. And not putting stipulations on it, we are to love unconditionally. Not according to what we achieve in life or don't achieve. So in other words, don't look, as it was saying here earlier, about the man with gay apparel or the one who didn't have anything. We are to show love towards each other regardless in life. Regardless. And I've also learned we're not always going to agree with each other. Just because we don't agree with each other doesn't mean that we show love. You know, I'm a sports guy. But Andy, I'm sorry, I don't like the Cubs. So we have a disagreement with each other. Just to be honest with you, I don't really care for baseball. I mean, they can really speed the game up if they wanted to. But with that being said, regardless, I'm to show love towards him, despite our disagreements. So we're not always going to agree, but we can always show love to each other. And we can do that on a daily basis. So I promised you earlier that I was going to share with you a list on how are we to show love towards each other. Now, this is very simple, and I'm not going to really elaborate on these things as I begin to look at the time here. So here's a list on how we are to show love. The first one is listen. Listen. When somebody's talking to you, listen. There's nothing worse when you're engaged in a conversation and you can tell somebody is not really listening to you. Listen to one another. I'm not going to go into politics very much, but I do know the reason why Trump got elected for this reason was this. He listened to the voice of the people. See, people like to be heard when they're talking. So give them your time and listen to them. Here's another one that we need to do as we begin to show love to each other is complain without accusing. Complain without accusing. That's a deep thought there. The third one is something I believe we might have a lot of hard things. Well, this whole list will show us that we have a hard time with this. But you know, when you love somebody, here's what you're going to do. Number three, you're going to keep your promises. You know, we make promises to each other. I myself, I don't like to make promises for this reason. I can't keep them. Man has failed us throughout the years with the promises that they make to us. Look at our government. Promise after promise, they break them. Who's the only one who can keep a promise? It's God. It's God. So if you promise somebody something, be careful in that area, but keep your commitment to them. Don't break it. Well, what do you mean? So in other words, if Charlie comes to me in confidentiality and he's wanting to give some dirt on Julie, which, by the way, he doesn't have to do that. I already have all the dirt on her. And he's going to say, Chad, I'm telling you this. Will you please promise not to tell me? And I say yes. And so it's not my job to go with the information that I have and run off to Gary. I made a promise to him, and I got to keep it. By the way, if I break that promise, guess what's going to happen? Charlie's never going to come to me ever again because I broke our trust between each other. So if somebody tells you something in confidentiality and they ask you to keep a promise, don't tell them. You know, there's some things that people have asked me, hey, don't say a word. And I give them my word. By the way, if you know somebody's telling me something, don't try to pry. Don't pry. Let it be. So keep your promises. Here's a fourth one. You might laugh at this one. But answer without arguing. Stop being so defensive. You don't always have to argue. You don't always have to try to get your point across. But answer somebody without arguing. You know, I did that a lot as I was growing up, and I'll be honest with you, I still do that. But when we show love to somebody, answer without arguing. Here's a fifth one I believe will be very helpful with us. Share without expectations. Share without expectations. I hope I'm not going too fast for you folks that are writing these down. Share without expectations. The sixth one, it kind of goes along with number three, as I mentioned towards the end of our illustration, but show trust. Show trust. You know, there's not a lot of trustworthy people in this world. You may be the only one that they trust. Don't ruin it. Especially to a person that's not saved, that needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number seven is this one. Four words on this one. If you want to show love towards somebody, make people feel important. Make people feel important. There have been some older folks in my life that have made me feel like I'm king of the world. They make me feel important. That doesn't just go down to a person of my age, but man, make a little child feel important. There's a lady here years ago, Graham Wilson. She had a tremendous gift in her life. And that was the love that she showed the kids that walked in this door. Greeted every single kid with a hug. And Doc, the same way. You know what was so special about those two? They made each kid feel important. They made them feel like they're number one. And those kids, even with Doc, could not wait to come to church to see Graham Wilson and Doc Martin. Why? Because they made them feel important. Kids need that in their lives. You know what? And so do we as adults. So make people feel important. Number eight, make concessions. I'm looking at my time here, so I'm going to try and wind this down. And I lied. I'm not going to be able to get on with my other part of this. Make concessions. Number nine, be tolerant. Be tolerant. Number 10, get personal. But what do you mean by get personal? Allow them to get to know you. Get personal with them. Number 11, make yourself useful. Make yourself useful. You know, I got to say this. We all know the last couple weeks, pastor's been going to dialysis in Harlan. There has been people that have stepped up, gotten up, the crack of dawn, drove an hour, sat and waited, drove back an hour. You know why that's being done? Because they're showing love by making themselves useful. There are so many ways that we can elaborate on this, but it's being done because, hey, I love my pastor. I want to make myself available and useful to him. Number 12 is one that I've used to harp on Jalen quite a bit. And that is maintain eye contact. maintain eye contact. When somebody's in a conversation with you, maintain eye contact. She had a problem when she was younger going through karate. Her instructors would always talk to her. And she thinks she's always got to be doing something else. And as they're talking to her, she's not really listening to them for this reason, because she's not making eye contact with him. And so I always harp on her. I said, Jalen, he's talking to you. You look him in the eye. I wouldn't do that at home. I would do that right then and there. It's good to have eye contact with people. It shows them that you're engaged. It shows them that you're listening to them. Number 13, live new experiences together. Live new experiences together. Make new memories. What do you mean by making new memories? Well, instead of going to McDonald's all the time, go to Taco John's. If you don't like Taco John's, then go to that taco joint on 16th and G. I mean, make new memories together. Number 14, make surprises. Make surprises. The last one I really like. Accept doing things that your loved ones enjoys doing. Doing what's important to them instead of doing what's important to you. That'll go a long way. Those are the 15 things that we can do to show love towards people. I got a list of 15 things that I got to practice in my life that I'm not good at. I'm not skilled at it. But you know what? I've learned that I can do anything in life with the help of God. Do you know that I can take the hatred that I have towards something, whether it be towards an animal or an individual, and turn that hatred into love, not because of myself, but because of God working through me? See, that's how we are able to get through in life, is God working through us. And the last thing that I want people to see as they walk through this church is a body of believers who don't practice loving each other. Tonight, after we get done here at 5 o'clock, we're going to go across the way and have some time of fellowship. This is important to me. It truly is. Just as important to me as maybe someone going to a Husker game or a Hawkeye game or a Cub game. And the reason why this is important to me is because I know the value of having fellowship with one another. See, times are going to get pretty scary here in the future. And if we're not able to practice it now, when are we going to be able to practice it? Forsake not the assembly. Why shouldn't we forsake the assembly? Why? Well, one, because it's in God's word. Two, it's because we're showing love towards each other. And I'm looking forward tonight to gather around a table of food that's been prepared for all of us from everybody's household. And just sitting back and enjoying the conversation. Don't get just stuck at a table and forget about everybody else. But roam around. Make yourself available to them. And you're kind of laughing. You're saying, Chad, you're one of the biggest hypocrites in this area. And I got to practice it. And I hope that I'm getting better at it. I hope that I'm showing love the way I should. If not, as I said last week, come up and slap me in the face. Don't slap me too hard. But that's what I need to do in my life. Why? Because a family that doesn't love is a family who don't stick together. A family that shows love towards each other and practices it and lives it is a family that's going to stay together. It's like the old saying, a family who doesn't pray together doesn't stick together. And so as I close this, from the bottom of my heart, I love you folks. And I hope that I can show that to you every time that we meet. If you want to give me a hug, give me a hug. If you want to give me a fist pump, give me a fist pump. If you want to shake my hand, give me a hug. But anyway, I love you folks. And I appreciate every single one of you in here. I really do. So let's have a word of prayer. And we'll have a short time of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I hope that as we sat here these last few moments that we're able to see the importance of being kind to one another, being compassionate, and being loving to each other. God, I pray that we practice this every time that we are together. I pray that we practice this even when we're not together. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen.